Wait, start again.
He's just seeing his kids.
All right, come on, guys. Stay on track here.
This is Wisdom from the Wardrobe, brought to you by Michael Bruce Image Consulting.
Hey, 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 and happy Monday. This is Wisdom from the Wardrobe with Michael Bruce Image Consulting. We are serious about style, but we are definitely not so serious about our talk. Today, we're sitting here with Stacy to my right.
Hello.
And to my left, I have my wonderful team members, Beck.
Hello.
And Beck's wearing a scarf. Are you cold, Beck?
Oh my gosh, always. Yes. But you notice it's spring colors. It's totally
it seasonally
colors. Appropriate.
It's very, very pretty. And then
it's a nice lightweight, you know.
To the other side.
Because it's
everyone's wearing color
degrees
today.
In May.
And we have Pamela. Lady P.
Hello.
Is that it? Are you gonna
That's
be demure today?
I'd like, to point
like
out
what's going on? You're wearing like bright orange blazer. Beck's got this bright pink sweater on with the scarf and Stacy
yeah,
is wearing like
your color there, friend.
No, no, I'm
it's
going
color
all,
commentary.
I'm color commentary. I'm going all dark and dangerous. Stacy has on like persimmon and she's wearing like these wonderful multicolored full trouser with a hot
yeah, those are fabulous pants.
Red patent shoe. Oh my gosh, Pookie. Pedal. And she's wearing colorful earrings. Yes. Eric, you and I are both doing the same thing. We're just wearing navy.
Hey. Navy is a color.
Navy is a color.
And at least it's not black. Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
It's not black.
Oh,
I'm in navy too.
Oh, but P's in navy too. There you go.
Yeah. So, I just topped it off with a really bright jacket.
I like the top off with a really bright jacket. So, hey, and Beck, do we want to do in the news or are we just going to get right into our subject today?
In the news is, you know, the fallout, aftermath, repercussions from the Met Gala, and I figured let's not do it for in the news. Let's do a whole episode on it.
Oh,
there's
my
a lot to talk about
because you were so Twitter-pated about it last week.
So Twitter-pated about it last week.
Well, you know, I have to say it's kind of exciting to see stuff. And some of the usual suspects who were there were not there this year. There was no J-Lo, there was no Rihanna. So I think
Zendaya.
It was interesting to sort of Oh, right, exactly. So it was, you know, there were a lot of the usual. Of course, there was a statue of Rihanna, so she was there in spirit, I suppose. And then I saw a pretty funny text that said, I think next year's theme should just be Blake Lively. And I thought that was pretty appropriate.
Oh, well, no,
too,
I thought that was funny. That was. So, well, then let's talk about, hey, Parrot, is that what we're going to talk about, P? The Met Gala? Do we have a theme?
I mean,
do we have a name
was...
for what our show's about today?
Yeah, we understood the assignment.
We understood the assignment.
Okay, now,
yeah,
that's so, like a phrase in pop culture right now about understand the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
And even more so with the Met Gala, like this is the OG assignment thing, which Pamela will talk about now.
Right.
Yeah. So before, you know, not, we make an assumption that everybody knows what the Met Gala is about. And, you know, a lot of people do, but there are some that maybe don't. So maybe we just give a little bit of background about why it's such a big deal. And then what the assignment was. And then let's kind of jump into who got it. And
yeah,
who didn't.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know, all right. So for those that don't know, the Met Gala is hosted the first Monday of May every year. There's only been 1 year since 1948 that it hasn't happened, and that was 2020. Wow. It was founded in 1946 by Eleanor Lambert, who was a fashion publicist. She founded it in 1946, but it didn't actually happen until 1947, and it wasn't always called the Met Gala, believe it or not. And it was called the Costume Institute Gala originally, but changed to the Met Gala. So it's basically a fundraising benefit for the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Mm-hmm. And it marks the opening of the Costume Institute's annual fashion exhibit.
Okay.
So that's what it's all about. So each year there is a collection that's put together for the Met Gala and it has a theme. And then there's a spin-off from that. So, you know, then the celebrities who purchase tickets for this event. I think they, I read somewhere.
Well, they have to be invited. It's not,
they have to be
randomly say, hey, I feel like going.
Correct. But you also have to pay the ticket price, which was an astounding
interesting
$30,000 a piece.
Wow.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what I read. I mean, I wasn't invited, so I don't know.
right. Yeah.
Which is a donation then to the Costume Institute.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So So these celebrities are invited, and they're not just, you know, movie stars. It's from all, you know, kind of different genres of celebrityism, if you like, whether it's art, music, fashion,
sports,
movie, sports, you know, there is the whole, it runs the whole gamut. So each year they're invited. And the theme kind of is supposed to replicate the exhibit. And it's kind of a tone of formal attire, but the guests are expected to, you know, give their interpretation and create their look to match the theme. That's the expectation, but they don't have to. So when we talk about some of these things, you'll see that there are some people that took the theme literally, some did an interpretation, and some ignored it.
And just a little sidebar before we dive into this year's, there's actually a really good documentary that's called The First Monday in May. That was made in 2016. It's on HBO right now. And I think you can also rent it for like 99 cents on Amazon. But if you're interested, it really does dive into the sort of behind the scenes. And it's really interesting.
Oh, that's really cool.
Oh, it's such a good documentary.
I'm going to have to check it out. Really, that's really good. Yeah. 99 cents on Amazon? If you have Prime, isn't it free?
It might be. I don't know.
It might be.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored.
So anyway, so this year, actually, it was a two-part exhibit. So part one was opened in September 18th of 2021, and it was In America, A Lexicon of Fashion. Mm-hmm. And part two, which obviously opened last week, May 5th, was In America, An Anthology of Fashion. So with the theme for the Met Gala this year being Gilded Glamour, White Tie.
Okay. So let's start there. We're going to break this up a little bit. So to make it fair.
So hang on, before you do that, Bruce. So what? I want to give a parameter of what the Gilded Glamour was, so people can understand whether people hit the assignment or not.
Perfect.
Right?
Do it tight.
Okay. So really tight. So Gilded Glamour, it was encouraged to approach late 19th century clothing through the modern lens. So late 19th century clothing was corsets, bonnets, top hats, bustles, petticoats, and pinched waistlines.
Okay, so Gilded Glamour. Now, let's talk about it. Let's go first. And we already did all of our research. We did awesome with that. Thank you guys for doing that. Who got the assignment first? That's what we're going to talk about first.
Well, I'm going to say my pick first, because I think what's super interesting is my pick is Lily James. And my pick for her, for really understanding the assignment, is that the dress itself had lots of adornments, ropes of pearls. And in the Gilded Age, to find matched pearls were actually more valuable than diamonds during the Gilded Age. And so the fact that she took these ropes of pearls and had them sort of draped over her shoulder and on her dress, to me, that like hit the accessories spot on. Because, you know, if you look at, you know, Alva Vanderbilt, she had the pearls that were from, who's the Russian Empress I'm totally blanking on? Not Peter the Great, his wife. Oh my gosh, Catherine the Great. She had the pearls from Catherine the Great, and they were like the most valuable thing in the country at that time. So I like that was a nod to the fact that pearls were more expensive than diamonds blows my mind. But you know, there were no manufactured pearls. So that's just a little history tidbit that I find fascinating.
Look at you. You took the history and the outfit and like, okay, so Lily James.
Do you think the silhouette of her outfit hit the assignment?
Well, it did have the nipped in waist, I think. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, if we look at whose silhouette, really the only one that really hit it was Billie Eilish with her bustle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. I mean, she's the only one who truly.
Right. But I would say that wasn't an interpretation, though. That was a replica.
A replica.
So she took kind of the style and, you know, she made it through the, I think, more modern for her because it's outside of what she would normally wear. You know, it was very fitted, form fitted, and it didn't, you know, it wasn't oversized black clothing, but it was it an interpretation or was it just a replica of that era?
I think it was an interpretation. There's no way you would have found someone in the late 1800s with a slit up to her thigh. So,
yeah, no, you know, not at all. Yeah.
And if we're still on the Lily James dress, if you really, if you go into it and you look at the detail, if it's the Gilded Age, like last week I joked about the whole birdcage thing, right? And, you know, it was on my head, but the idea was that there was a boom in architecture. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of things happening with lines and and architecture. And so, you know, I didn't necessarily love Lily James' outfit. Mm-hmm. It's for my personal taste. That said, you're right. She did definitely, represent.
Understand the assignment.
Yeah. That's what
There's other looks that I would have liked better, but I think this interpretation really was a really good nod.
You mean like Blake Lively?
Laura, let's talk about that since I were there. I think we all appreciated and loved what Blake Lively was wearing.
Yes, I just want to be Blake Lively when I grow up. Okay. Just saying.
Who doesn't?
her look was, this is somebody that, can you imagine being in her child's classroom and you have to bring in a snack or something because you're learning about the whatever period of time. She's the mom that's I made this and I made that.
Well, she did copper. She had the turquoise. Right. She did the prints. Bit of gold.
If you didn't see it, it's worth looking up. She wore a dress that at first glance it was long and it seemed to have a big copper kind of vibe around the waist and wrapped. And then all of a sudden there was the undoing, the unfastening with her group of, I think, four gentlemen that unwrapped her. And suddenly she had the look of patinaed copper, which turns a lovely shade of a greenish blue.
Yeah.
With then on the train of the dress, it had the constellations that you can find on the roof of Grand Central Station. Mm-hmm. Even the gloves had the patinaed look. The Lorraine Schwartz
and somehow they managed to switch her gloves, but not pull off the underneath pair. I want to know what kind of magic they used to do.
Right,
that.
Exactly. And then the Lorraine Schwartz crown that she had, it had seven peaks representing the seven wonders of the world and the seven somethings. And then it had 25 little. No detail.
Was on turn. Got the assignment, nailed the assignment. And did a wonderful
And it was
job.
Just all over stunning. Just from stunning. An architectural point of view, from the coloration, just the way she wore it.
And really, let's talk about her best accessory, which in all honesty is Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, so let's talk about that tux. Chocolate brown velvet. Come on. That was beautiful.
It was beautiful. And while some may question the use of velvet in May, it's a formal event.
It is a
formal
event.
And to a certain degree, the Met Gala, as Pamela pointed out earlier, it is for the Costume Institute. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there is an element of dress up or costume to it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I think that we need to say about Blake Lively, and then we should probably take a break, is that the sheer joy. She didn't have this diva moment like some people do when the unfurling happened. Right. She genuinely laughed and was present to be is this crazy or what?
This is crazy.
Yeah.
And that's just, to be present in such a moment and have fun.
Yeah.
That is somebody who clearly loves fashion.
Awesome.
Right. And also her enthusiasm for everything about the gown, and the person that made it and all of the details. She was gushing about it. And I just thought it was just a great moment.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's take a break. And then when we come back.
More gushing
and some unexpected people that showed up looking gilded and glamorous. Keep listening to Wisdom from the Wardrobe with Michael Bruce Image Consulting.
Have you ever considered working with an image consultant or stylist, but were worried about what the experience would be like? If that sounds like you, then Michael Bruce Image Consulting is here to help. They've worked with thousands of people, and many of those individuals have shared their experiences by way of style stories. Go to michaelbruceimageconsulting.com/stylestories and check out what their delighted clients have to say about their experiences.
Welcome back to Wisdom from the Wardrobe. Clearly, we as a group will not have enough time for this episode because we could go on and on and on. And
we have gone on for about a week.
Yeah, it's
back and forth
ridiculous.
On this thing.
This is the Super Bowl of style, fashion,
really
trend,
is.
All of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, bringing up her rear is Cardi B.
She got the assignment. There's tons of music songs we can figure on that one, Pete. I've got to hit the playlist.
She looked amazing. And yeah. I say, obviously, my tongue-in-cheek joke about her. However, she was really, it was unexpected how unbelievable. I mean, her dress, it's all made of gold chains and whatever. So it's a nod to hip hop and the whole idea of layering on chains.
Yep.
And yet, I mean.
But the literal version of gilded. I mean, yes, everything the about her light is golden.
Everything's golden. Absolutely. Yes. So I thought that was really great.
And dare I say it, classy for Cardi B. But, you know, there were others. We were also just talking a little. There were others whose looks I hated, but they really got the assignment. Like Jessica Chastain, for example. You know, she wore this.
Tell us how you really feel.
Tell us how you really feel, Beck.
She wore this turban and her dress had sort of a snake on it. And, you know, again, she really interpreted. If you look at like what was going on in the late 1800s, spirituality was a huge thing. And, you know, going to seances and, you know, there was the ectoplasm and the whole thing. And so that really is quite a nod to the time. But I just thought she looked, she like
Nora Desmond.
Norma Desmond.
Yeah, right.
I mean, from Carol Burnett.
Oh, I was thinking like
for some
Norma
reason
Desmond.
I had Mommy Dearest vibes from it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I could
definitely,
see that too. But, you know, so. You know, there's one piece. The thing I would also say I was really disappointed in is there was so much black on that red carpet.
Yes.
And nothing about the Gilded Age, no matter how you interpret it, black in that era was only for mourning. Mm-hmm. And nobody wore black. And so I was really disappointed by how many looks were dark, because that's not what it's supposed to be about.
Well, the antithesis of dark, which is ironic, was Billie Eilish, who throughout the red carpet this award season was noted. We talked multiple times about how she layered on tons of layers, oversized, and they were black.
Right.
And here she showed up like in light pastels.
In the color palette. I mean, you know, that color palette was.
Yeah, you're right. Total color palette.
What was going on, whether it was great for her skin tone or whatever, but it was perfect for the color palette. The only thing that wasn't was. How many platform shoes did you guys see? The trend of platform shoes.
Every other was a Jimmy Choo platform.
Yes,
Jimmy,
absolutely. Yeah. I was like, more platforms. Even some of the guys were wearing platforms.
Well, it's a modern interpretation.
Yes, yes.
And I will say, this is sort of my silliness. She's like the angsty teen of the Gilded Age. Like, that's how she looks. She's like mother with the dark hair and like her pale skin. But you know, at 20 years old, she is already you know, appreciate. It's almost easier. It's like wearing a uniform to school, right? It's like, to a certain degree, like, follow the assignment.
And then let's do one more that we thought that hit the mark on the assignment.
Carrie Mulligan?
Carrie Mulligan.
I thought and her husband.
And
that
looked fabulous, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, we didn't love the fact that there was a lot of black on the runway.
Right.
But that bustle, that gold bustle on her dress with the gold, you know, the neckline from her was just stunning. And then her husband, again, you know, the long coat as though it's, the old kind of riding coats that you would see in the movies with them. Everything about it was just in sync and was just elegant. I just loved it.
Who was, I just went blank on his name, who did, he wore a Tommy Hilfiger. He had gold, he had a really cool.
Top coat?
Yeah, top coat.
The singer, Shawn Mendes.
Shawn Mendes, but he had the gold in there.
On the inside.
And
had his, this was a comment that I left, it had his initials.
Yeah.
That were in there, and it's like, in case he loses
his jacket. Mom, put my initials in.
Well, the cool thing about that is his entire outfit was made of recycled wool.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
So I thought that was one more that I want to love.
Chloe Grace Moretz with that. She wore this sort of silvery, like same thing, like a tailcoat with a cropped pant and a great silver heel, and just looked almost gender bending a little bit.
It was more of a male take on it.
I thought she looked dynamite.
Well, I'm going to go a little more traditional with some of the things I love, but Nicola Colligan, who is in Bridgerton, who plays. Yeah. I just loved her dress. It was in line with the era, but it had all of those kind of soft femininity details to it. You know, the pink with the feathers, and I don't know. There was just something about it I thought was really sweet, and I really liked it.
Yeah, So,
I would
okay.
also say that someone specifically, you know, not to go down the Kardashian route, but I do think we need to address some of the things. And the thing that I was disappointed is that this was, you know, for all the others, this was the year that Kourtney Kardashian, the first year she'd gotten invited. And basically she ignored the theme. She was all over Travis Barker. I just felt like she totally disrespected what the event was about.
Well,
and I think since that, I've seen her called out for it online, and she's actually apologized.
And what's interesting is the Vogue, because this is Anna Wintour now, mm-hmm. who has taken over this project along with Hamish Bowles, mm-hmm. They have the Vogue cameras follow. And she talked while getting dressed about, you know, oh, like, I think my outfit's like a deconstructed version of Travis's, and normally with his mm-hmm. tattoos and everything, like him being all buttoned up and classic and then me being deconstructed, you know, like she got it, but she didn't get it.
Yeah.
It wasn't finessed enough.
It wasn't finessed, right. Yeah. It looked like an evening kind of, or an afternoon hangout. To me, it wasn't like,
right.
It wasn't elegant.
I understood what she was doing with that outfit as soon mm-hmm. as I saw it. It was, right. you know, the reverse of what Travis was doing. It was like the deconstructed, the making of it, mm-hmm. right? But there just wasn't that pizzazz or elegance to it. So I think it was a letdown on her behalf. I think she tried, but it was a miss this time. But, you know, maybe next time she'll get it right.
Right. Okay, so Let's talk about a couple
right.
of the really...
I'm going first.
Go, P, go. Which one did you
all
like?
All right. Stormy's.
Oh.
In the Burberry. So, you know, white tie event, he went all white. So a white tuxedo, white shirt, you know, and then the long white cape.
I just like a cape.
Yeah, I mean, the cape is longer than it would have been traditionally, but I just like the sheer class of it, right? We talked about a while ago the colors for the season and, you know, some of the trends coming into the Met Gala. Mm-hmm. So he went with the white. There was a few other people that did all white outfits as well to take that interpretation.
Right.
And my understanding is the white tie element of it.
Right.
But I just thought it was just a bold move. It was really, really classy. And then you've got Kid Cudi, who did the electric blue.
Oh, the blue? Okay, you gotta love the cape. Did you love the cape? I love the blue cape.
Exactly. Uh-huh. So for me, you know, those two are great standouts. And then what was the other guy? Was it Russell Westbrook in the Tom Brown?
Tom Brown.
So he mm-hmm. had, you know, the top hat and tails portion, mm-hmm. and then he wore
they were
utility kilts.
Yeah,
so it was almost like a nod. There's the nod to the Gilded Age and, mm-hmm. But let's do that non-gender specific portion of it with the skirt underneath.
Loved his look. Now, admittedly, I did send to our group chat a picture of him next to Mr. Monopoly.
That was hilarious.
However, that's not a diss. I mean, Mr. No. Monopoly is classic, and he did an updated version of Mr. Monopoly. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I love this look.
Okay.
I did notice there was quite a few of, you know, of the guys that were non-traditional and went that route of bending the gender norms with their clothing,
yes.
which I thought was really interesting and really cool.
Okay, now she this is to me a standout. Probably again the Gilded thing. She did wear all black, but you had to love Alicia Keys' black cape with the city.
Yes.
That's true.
With the city.
Especially for her.
New York. I just thought that that was just
mm-hmm. Yeah, that was kind of neat.
It was gorgeous.
The whole deal.
I also thought, you know, this is one to me also that needed a little bit of explanation. The Sarah Jessica Parker's dress was, you know, at first looking at it, the plaid and it sort of whatever, it was actually a nod to Elizabeth Hobbs, who was the first black designer in the White House, which I thought was kind of cool. She was a dress linker for Mary Todd Lincoln.
Oh.
So, you know, it's really early Gilded Age, but I just thought, you know, to look at it, you wouldn't think anything. It's you have to kind of know that.
She needed
so
a sign.
Some of these outfits. Like,
she needed
I know
a
one
sign.
One, I know. Like the one we hated, there was a guy who was basically wearing, you know, work boots and he was representing the workers during the age, which is great. There's that sort of, you know, nod to the past, but you also look like you're there to sweep up after everybody else walks the red carpet. So,
well, and, you know, and that is the interesting thing. Like, you almost want to have a theme one year where it's like, explain this.
And,
you know, because some of these outfits, there is a reason and a purpose to it. It's just that you don't necessarily know unless you watch maybe one of the Vogue videos that they have or, you know, you hear them interviewed or whatever it is. And so a lot of people kind of look at this event and are like, what a bunch of wackadoodles.
Yeah.
Okay, so since we only have like a couple minutes here, so everybody, you want to name a standout that you particularly loved or loved to not love?
I think we've already done the ones we love. Let's just do a quick love to not love. So maybe one that missed the mark. P, do you have one?
I'm going to have to think about that for a second.
Okay. Beck, do you have one?
Well, I was just thinking before I touch on that, I just also got to say, I don't understand the Marilyn Monroe dress. You know, to me, that's the elephant in the room. That has nothing to do with the Gilded Age. And quite frankly, if you look at Chloe and Kim, it's essentially the same dress.
Yes.
One of them is historic and one of them isn't, but they look like twins. So to me, that has no distinction between the two gowns. And watching her try to walk in the platform heels in that little tiny mincing step going up the stairs, I just don't know if it was worth it.
Okay.
I heard she couldn't zip it, you know, the whole thing.
What about you?
I thought the Jared Leto thing was kind of a little interesting to me. So that was mine. It was like, really?
So for those who don't know,
can you imagine having double Bruces? Come
he
on.
Had a doppelganger wearing the exact same outfit.
Did you just say
geez?
Yeah. All right. On that note, okay. Well, that's when your ego is so big, you're like, you know what's better than one? Two. All right. Well, basically, this was super fun. It ended too soon. If you have any questions or you have comments, then please feel free to comment on our Instagram, Michael Bruce IC, or contact us through michaelbruceimageconsulting.com. We'd love to hear your thoughts.
That's the show. Thanks for listening.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
If you like what you're listening to and want to learn more about the team, get some great style inspiration and useful style tips on how to elevate your personal style, you can follow them on Instagram at Michael Bruce IC. That's Instagram at Michael Bruce IC. Thanks for listening.